Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. When aches and pains slow us down, or our vision gets blurry enough to warrant reading glasses, those signs of aging are obvious and easy to spot. Less apparent is age-related hearing loss. The good news is that it usually happens slowly over time. The bad news is that hearing loss may be related to prolonged exposure to loud noise in our younger years, everything from construction equipment to rock concerts.
Since hearing loss cannot be reversed, the use of hearing aids becomes critical. Thankfully, we've come a long way from the 19th century ear trumpet. With each scientific advance, from the invention of the telephone through transistors and microprocessors, hearing aids have gotten better and smaller. Here to discuss age-related hearing disorders and treatment options for hearing loss is Dr. Joseph Pellegrino. Dr. Pellegrino is an assistant professor and director of audiology at the Gebbie Speech Language Hearing Clinic at Syracuse University. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Pellegrino. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
I can't help but notice that some of my older friends and family members have started leaning in to hear what I'm talking about. And I notice this happens more when we're out in restaurants or we're in crowded public spaces. And it begs the question, is hearing loss inevitable as we age, and what happens physically to cause it?
Hearing loss is not inevitable. I've seen patients that are 45, 50 years old that are experiencing or exhibiting some of the characteristics of early onset age-related hearing loss. I've seen individuals that are 90 years or older, and they have perfectly normal hearing. So inevitable? No. Likely? Perhaps. The statistics show that roughly 45% of individuals 65 and older have some degree of age-related hearing loss. So it definitely is out there, but not inevitable.
Is there a hereditary factor involved, or is it just circumstantial and, you know, cumulative?
We used to think more circumstantial and cumulative. However, there's some very interesting research coming out, probably late last year, late 2012, mostly out of the University of South Florida, where they've identified a gene that is linked to age-related hearing loss. So future use of this, perhaps we'd be able to do some genetic testing and find out if individuals are predisposed to age-related hearing loss. So there is the potential for that genetic link.
So what might a person do? Let's say they found out that they did have the genetic link, or just for the rest of us know as we get older there's a chance that our hearing won't be as good as it was once in the day. What kinds of steps can people take now, let's say in middle age, to slow the process?
Sure. There's some very interesting research that's going on right here at Syracuse University. Dr. Karen Daugherty, one of my colleagues, is looking at cognitive function in individuals, younger individuals, 50 to 60 years of age, with mild degrees of hearing loss, so the early onset age-related hearing loss. And she's finding that individuals that are taking the steps to get hearing aids at an earlier age are actually improving their cognitive function while they have those hearing aids on. So that certainly helps. And we're also finding that individuals that pursue hearing aids at an earlier age adjust to them much more quickly and are happier with their hearing aids as they move forward with them. So early intervention, I think, is key. Trying to get people to recognize that the hearing loss is there and doing something about it at an earlier age.
Dr. Pellegrino, I will confess something. Lorraine and I share a similar background in that we both had careers in radio where we listened on headphones to extremely loud music. It was just part of the job that we did. So I suspect that we may be one of those people who may experience earlier hearing loss rather than later. Can you explain physically what goes on in the ear that causes hearing loss?
As we get older, there are degenerative changes that happen mostly within the inner ear. There are some changes to the middle ear related to the stiffening of the middle ear bones, or perhaps the eustachian tube not working as well as it once did. But by and large, the mechanism of damage is happening within the inner ear. And that's related to the hair cells, the sensory cells within the inner ear, particularly within the cochlea. As we get older, they start to die off. And that dying off takes place in the higher frequency range, the hair cells or the sensory cells responsible for the higher frequencies. So individuals that are suffering from age-related hearing loss tend to have hearing test results where the threshold or the hearing ability is worse in the higher frequencies. And it's interesting because we can correlate that to patient complaints. When they walk into the clinic, they'll often say, I have a tougher time hearing younger children. I have a tougher time hearing in the presence of background noise. Or they'll often say, I know somebody is talking, but I just don't understand exactly what they're saying. And if you think about it, the higher frequency sounds are the S, the SH, the F. And if you're missing those subtle cues, somebody might say the word car or cars, plural, or carve with a V, and you know they've said something, but you've missed that high frequency cue, so it doesn't make perfect sense to you. There's also a neural component to it as well. The neural connections between the ear and the brain slowly degenerate with time as well, and that's when we have a real tough time understanding what people are saying.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we're talking with Dr. Joseph Pellegrino about hearing loss, age-related hearing loss, and other kinds. Dr. Pellegrino, an assistant professor and director of audiology at the Gebbe Speech Language Hearing Clinic at Syracuse University. Dr. Pellegrino, more and more of us are probably exposed to loud noise because it's prevalent now. I mean, youngsters are growing up with earbuds in their ears. We're listening to a lot of personal music devices, and we control the volume. We don't have to worry about anyone else in our area because it's self-contained. Is that, do you think, going to lead to greater hearing loss for, current generations?
Yeah, noise is definitely a contributing factor. People that are in the construction field, people that go hunting or shoot, target shooting, things like that. It's definitely a louder world that we live in now. So yes, noise certainly contributes to the problem.
What are some of the new advances in digital hearing aids? I see that they've gotten a lot smaller and they seem much easier to operate, and maybe there's less of a stigma for people to use them. And I know there are also things called hearing assistive listening devices. Would you tell us what's going on?
You are correct in that the size of the instruments are getting smaller, so that's making acceptance of them much greater. And they have progressed by leaps and bounds over the last 7 to 10 years with the advance of the digital processors that are inside hearing aids. Hearing aid manufacturers are doing a great job at making the sound a bit more natural, a bit clearer, a bit crisper. But what they've also done is they've started to incorporate, as you referenced, the assistive devices within the hearing aids. So hearing aids are good. They do a very nice job at amplifying what's happening around you. But patients will often complain or report that they hear well when it's quiet, but as soon as they go into a noisy environment, a restaurant or a cocktail party, a wedding, they have a tough time hearing with that competing background noise. So the assistive devices that are available now, and we're having really good success with a particular device, it's called a mini microphone. And basically, it's a wireless microphone. It's quite small, and it has a range of 20 to 30 feet. And you hand this microphone to the person that you're speaking to. So if you're out to dinner with your spouse, they would clip it to their collar. It's not very conspicuous. And now when they speak, their voice is going into this microphone, and it's delivered wirelessly into the hearing aids, essentially reducing or almost eliminating the competing noise around you. And people are finding it so much easier to communicate in noisy environments with that type of device. So we've had some very good results with that. The other new advancement in the world of hearing aids is Bluetooth connectivity. We're able to pair hearing aids to Bluetooth-enabled devices. So you can stream your telephone, your laptop, your iPod directly through the hearing aid. We can certainly control the volume so that we're not inducing more hearing loss through the noise exposure, but it makes listening much easier in many different types of situations.
I also wanted to ask about tinnitus. I know it may or may not be related to hearing loss, but it's certainly a disorder. I happen to suffer from it, which is just a high-pitched sound in my right ear. And I know that millions of people do suffer. Can you talk to us about what it is and what the thinking is as far as treatment and management of tinnitus?
Tinnitus, as you say, is a ringing in the ears, and it is indeed related to hearing loss. We find that a good number of the patients we identify with hearing loss do have some degree of ringing in the ears. Unfortunately, the tinnitus can exist without hearing loss, and there are many different pathologies, disorders out there that have tinnitus listed as a symptom of it. So it's sometimes difficult, if the hearing loss is not present, it's sometimes difficult to identify exactly what's causing the ringing. We're almost excited, it sounds strange, but we're almost excited sometimes to find people complaining of ringing in the ears and they have hearing loss. Because what happens is when we put hearing aids on those individuals, by amplifying sound around them and restoring some of their hearing, the tinnitus actually starts to go down. So we have good results with just simply wearing hearing aids on individuals with tinnitus. And another option for folks with tinnitus is something called TRT. It's tinnitus retraining therapy, and it's something we offer at the Gebbie Clinic. It's a combination of counseling as well as ear-level masking devices. And the idea is to try to introduce noise that masks out the tinnitus, making life less stressful. You don't hear the ringing noise, so consequently you're not as stressed about the ringing noise. And as the stress goes away, we find that the ringing goes down as well. And over time, we can reduce the level of that masking noise, and also the tinnitus is kind of coming down with that. So we've had some pretty good results with using hearing aids as well as the TRT.
Dr. Joseph Pellegrino is an assistant professor and director of audiology at the Gebbie Speech-Language Hearing Clinic at Syracuse University. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
For more information on age-related hearing loss and the Gebbie Clinic, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org.
Coming up on next week's show, you can't taste it, touch it, or hold on to it, yet it brings us endless pleasure. And we're the only species on Earth to understand or enjoy it. Why is music such a vital part of our lives? A Canadian neuroscientist may have the answer. Plus, a look at the latest must-have wellness gadget, fitness tracking devices, with a tech journalist from USA Today.
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on iTunes and at wrvo.org/takecare. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.